This program deals with themes of an adult nature and is intended for a mature audience.
Hey, welcome to the Two Bobs. I'm Rob.
Rob.
And I'm Robert.
And I'm Harrison, and you're listening to episode 245 for Monday, March 25th, 2024.
This week on the Two Bobs, we're going to talk about, as always, the beer we're drinking. We're also going to talk about snow and Subway.
Not necessarily in that order. Then we'll get into crazy news and we'll talk about some sex dominoes. What is it with feet? Helicopter dad gone wrong. A pizza IPA. What is it with feet and the not so friendly or safe skies?
There's just a lot of feet.
What is it with feet?
It's crazy. There's a lot of things going on with feet this week.
More than there ever has been.
I mean, it's rare we have a foot story, but this episode has two. Hold on, I gotta switch my audio back over. I can't hear you.
Bought myself a jar of Planters peanuts, and I've been eating all those.
There we
all
go.
Day.
Now I can hear you.
All right, peanut.
Okay.
I haven't really had dinner.
Neither have I. It was. This morning was an hour drive to work. Well, let's see. We have snow. We have snow on there, so we'll save it for the show.
Yeah. So how's it going? What's going on? Anything good up there?
We already did the intro. I guess we start the episode now. I guess we just start, right?
Is that how right. We had to shoo Harrison out of the way so we could get down to business.
This is a everything's going great. This is a an old drink, old fashioned during the podcast type of Friday.
Damn it. I should have done that, but I was really excited about my beer.
Well, it's all right. There's nothing wrong with a good beer, Robert. Nothing wrong with a good beer.
Does that have the honey simple syrup in it?
Yeah. So, well, and for the people listening to the show, I have sometimes been mixing up. Rather than have two beers, I'll have like a whiskey or something. And I decided just to make an old fashioned. I got some Suntory yesterday, which is it's a Japanese whiskey I got from the Total Wine. They open a Total Wine about a mile from my office, which is a big mistake for me. And so I went to check it out yesterday. They're still like building up their beer selection because it's not nearly as good of a selection as the one that's closer to my house.
Yeah.
But that being said, they had a pretty darn good whiskey selection. So I got some Suntory. I've been wanting to try Japanese whiskey, and so I have that. I made some honey simple syrup yesterday to go with it. And so I have that. I have orange bitters and one of those like candied orange slices, and it's really tasty. A little on the sweet side. And I don't know, and I'll be honest with you, like I haven't drank the Suntory full octane to really get a good idea of what it, you know, what the difference is between like a bourbon that we like, or just even just like an American whiskey and a Japanese whiskey or Scottish whiskey. But anyway, it makes a good old fashioned, and I like the honey simple syrup. It's a little bit different.
Yeah. Well, I was wondering about that. There's a place near here that does, you can do flights, and they'll do flights of the Japanese whiskey. So we've been meaning to go try that. So, but is it? You're saying it pretty much just tastes like any other kind, where it still tastes like whiskey, but it's got a whatever their variation of it is. Like, I mean, they all more or less taste somewhat different. So I guess there's not anything distinguishing it where you're drinking it and going, wow, this is Japanese.
Yeah, the only thing I can really say is that it seems like it's maybe a little bit like drier, not quite as sweet as a bourbon.
Yeah.
But bourbon is kind of on the sweet side when it comes to whiskey because of the, you know, they use the mash bill is corn based. So you get a little bit of the sweetness from the corn. So like you don't get that in here. And I'm Googling right now. I would really like to, let's see here. When you compare Japanese whiskey to American whiskey, you have to consider the regulations and requirements. Yeah. I don't care about any of that. I know bourbon's at least 51% corn, then there's rye, mostly rye. Let's see here. Japanese whiskey is similar to scotch, it says.
I don't know the difference with that either.
Previously, Japanovary rules. Whiskeys contain malted on malted grains from Japan. Yeah, the other thing I can... in the way Japanese whiskey is more similar to American whiskeys. So, yeah, it's less sweet than bourbon. It's more like... I would say it's similar to more like a rye. So, just like a drier, less sweet flavor, but still really good. And so, I think that in combination with the honeysuckle syrup, it's actually really good. And then a little bit of citrus because I use orange bitters. Highly... I think you can pick some Centauri up. It was like $30 for the bottle here. So I think they have it. And you can get it in Baltimore for $346, I think.
I'll look.
I did think it was funny, though, because I looked, when I'm there, I looked down at the Buffalo Trace, and it's $25.99 for 750 milliliters. And my first thought was, man, that's a quarter of what Bob Kay almost bought it for.
Yeah, yeah. I don't even know the difference between bourbon and whiskey and rye and all that. I just know that I like them all. So it's kind of like stouts and porters where I don't really know that. I know there is a difference and I probably should know it, but I just know that I like it. So I don't really care.
A lot of it's the barrel. So a lot of the times like bourbon is single barrel, so they don't reuse the barrel with whiskeys. They can.
Yeah.
So a lot of it is based off of that. And then it depends, like, again, Japanese whiskey versus American whiskey.
Yeah.
There's differences there. The biggest thing is the mash bill and what they use to actually make it. So, again, bourbon is going to be sweeter because it has a corn mash bill, or at least the majority of it has to be corn for it to be considered bourbon. So, I mean, that's, like, the variances that you get in the taste. But, you know, at the end of the day, they all, like, I can tell if I'm drinking a bourbon or a whiskey.
Yeah.
I can't necessarily say, oh, this is a bourbon. Oh, this is a whiskey. Right. I can probably guess.
Yeah.
But what I can do is tell the difference between like a bourbon and like vodka or gin or something like that. So they do clearly, you know, have a difference in taste.
Yeah. But, we'll get there. What I do know is that I guess we do a random shit. I got to tell you, I got to laugh because I saw, and I know we always joke about Subway, but I saw this week on the news something that's devastating because I go to Subway. I don't go very often, but when I do, there's a couple things that I like there. And I always like, we talked about my fascination with crunching ice, and Subway has the best ice to crunch. And I saw this week that they're going to be changing away from one of my favorite beverages to a beverage that I talk shit about every week. They're going to be switching from Coke to Pepsi.
Oh, they're going to be switching to Pepsi.
Yeah. So I saw that and I thought, well, as if I hadn't gone there less, I'll be going there even less now. But
well, you know, I think probably what they're thinking is that most people aren't as big of Coke snobs as you are. And so they don't really care that much. That'd be my guess. I don't know. I could be wrong.
I'll turn it away. That's the three bucks I would have spent on a cup of Coke was not going to be happening. So I guess they'll save money by doing the Pepsi, obviously, is why they're switching. But no, it's good. I mean, not that my teeth haven't all already cracked because I crunched ice, which I know long. Well, I did a little bit earlier, but I haven't been crunching the ice. So, oh, well, the good news is beer doesn't have ice in it, so I don't have to worry about crunching it.
Well, that's true. That is very true. So, well, that's good. So, you know, you're not going to Subway anymore because of the pop.
The pop, yeah. I got a boycott now.
Yeah, they got to boycott the pop that they have over there.
Yeah.
How's the weather in Virginia, though? Because I got to tell you, up here, it turned spring, and then it got cold. And now we had several inches of snow this morning.
It's 55 here now. It's supposed to come back
tonight, too. There's going to be more. I had to clear off the driveway. It's spring.
That's stupid.
It's today, as we're recording this, it's March 22nd. And I get it. Like, sometimes we get snow here in Michigan in March. But at the same time, like, literally, it was last weekend?
Mm-hmm.
It was last week, which would have, by the time this episode comes out, will be the week before last. We were outside in t-shirts and shorts.
Yep.
We went to the park wearing t-shirts and shorts.
Park.
And now it's cold again. And to boot, so like we always wait we wait a little bit longer to get the Christmas lights down because, you know, we've talked about this before. That. Super listener Dave and two other neighbors and I, we go in on a boom every year, twice a year. In the fall, we put the Christmas lights up. And then in the spring, we take the Christmas lights down. And I purposely, you know, for a number of reasons. One is because it's just been the time to actually do it hasn't been readily available. And this was like the first weekend. But like also, we don't want to do it too early. And the intention is we hold off a little bit later so that way we don't have to worry about doing it in the snow and cold weather. And here it is going to be in the 20s tomorrow. And I'm going to be out there with this fucking boom taking Christmas lights down because we got it this weekend. So Dave,
what the actual fuck?
Exactly. Super listener Dave already got his down, but
he was a smart
tomorrow,
one.
And then the other neighbors are going to get theirs down on Saturday, Sunday, whenever the fuck. And so that's exciting.
You're at the point to just leave them up now.
Well, A, we can't do that. The HOA would not be happy if there were Christmas lights on my house any later, I'm pretty sure. But
you should have got LEDs. You could leave them up year-round.
Yeah, we got the lights. These are brand-new lights. We're year-one on these lights,
yeah,
and they're pieces of shit. So and I bought, like, GE lights. I didn't go and buy, like, off-brand lights. Yeah. Should have got the off-brand ones. They probably would have worked better. But we were having, like, I was talking to Dave about this. Like, we had, like, sections that would be out, but not like an entire strand. A section would be out, or there'd be like a random section that would be out, that would go back on, or it would just be dimmer. And not even like a whole strand dimmer than the rest of the strands. Part of one strand would be dimmer than the rest of the strands sometimes. And it was weird stuff. And I had them daisy chained a couple, but yeah. I think on that side, there was maybe two strands, maybe three, that we're going across that area. I'm like, why is this a problem? It's not a voltage problem.
Yeah.
So these lights can get fucked. They're going to go straight in the garbage once I get them off the house, and we'll try again with a different set next year.
So the off-brand then.
Yeah, we're going to get the cheap, shitty off-brand ones, and they're going to last for the rest of our lives. That's right. The thing. Like, the ones that we had, they lasted a long time.
Yeah.
Like, at least, you know, multiple years. I just want to get multiple years. They don't have to last forever, but give me a couple years. And these ones didn't even go 1 year.
You want a big ball of lights like Clark Griswold every year? You got to unball it.
I'd be okay with that as long as they worked.
Too funny. Well, shit. Well, hopefully anyway, the snow doesn't wreak any havoc on your... on your Christmas light removal here at almost April. And
they're coming down regardless. So
Well, when you're done, you'll be able to celebrate with a nice beer and knowing that they're done and off the house and out of your hair for forever, I guess, that strand.
Speaking of beer.
Yeah.
Hey, bartender, another beer!
Hanging out and having some beers with friends, which I gladly do and which I fully embrace. We drank beer, my friends and I. Boys and girls, I liked beer, still like beer.
I was surprised at how vocal he was about the fact that he likes beer.
I don't know where I got this.
I think I got it as a one-off somewhere.
What?
It's really good, though.
Can't hear you, Bob. Okay.
So I don't know where I got this beer. I think I got it as a one-off. I really like it.
What are you drinking?
I got it as a one-off.
Yeah.
I got mine as a one-off. I went to Total Wine yesterday and literally bought one beer. And that's the one I have. I'm going around. I'm like, I came in here to get a beer to record for the podcast because I ran out of other beers that I, like, from the one-offs that I had bought, you know, however long ago that was. And so I'm like, I need to walk out with a beer. And I literally walked out with a single bottle of beer. I walked out with a bottle of, Centauri and a bottle of beer. That was it. It was a cheap visit, though.
Yeah.
To Total Wine, because all I got was one bottle of very reasonably priced whiskey and the beer.
Yeah, I'll look for that at the store tomorrow and tell you how much it is here, if I can get it.
Yeah, it's made by Toki, T-O-K-I.
Okay.
It's Toki Centauri. It's very good. if you can find it, it's nice. It's a nice. It's a nice. And actually, my buddy at work, Chris, he's the one, and he's a bit of a connoisseur when it comes to, way more than I am with it when it comes to this stuff. And he had been recommending it to try it. So I'm glad I took his recommendation.
Now, did you finish it? Are you able to tell us about your beer now, or are you still going on about your whiskey?
I can switch back and forth. I can multitask here, and that takes a little. You know, I'm going to give it a minute to
settle,
cleanse the palate. So, I should have brought some saltines, so that way I can
big jar of Planters like I got.
That I mean, that would have been nice.
You want some?
Been nice. I didn't think of it. Yes, please. Just throw them over here.
I bought them on a whim.
This week we're going to friends over at Boulevard. Oh. I guess my friend, you've never had Boulevard, and I don't know. Let's see, where are they based out?
Oh, look.
My assumption is they're a Michigan beer. Let's see, Kansas City, Missouri.
Close. Oh, same thing.
It's basically the same thing, right? So we're going to our friends over at Boulevard, and this week I have the Boulevard Whiskey Barrel Stout. It's a barrel aged Imperial Stout, and I got this because. Again, it was out of desperation because I needed to get a beer, and I also had to get back to work. So I just grabbed it along with my Centauri, and here it is. But, you know, I'm okay with that. Super listener Dave has had this beer, by the way, because I noticed the check-in on tap, but and he gave it rave reviews. So we'll see how I like it. But this is over the top, but surprisingly approachable. This twist on the classic style starts with several types of malted barley, rye, oats, and wheat. Robust flavors of vanilla, espresso, whiskey, chocolate, and roasted grain are balanced by hints of date and plum, with just enough hops to round it all out. Roughly one-third of the final blend is freshly brewed beer. The rest is aged for up to a year or more in both first and second use whiskey casks.
Oh, Centauri.
So it's kind of seems like a complex beer, right? I mean, there's some of it's freshly brewed. It's
Japanese.
But then two-thirds is aged for a year or more. Lots of different flavors that I would hope to get from this. And so, anyway, here I go. I'm going to smell it out of the bottle.
That's how you know it's good.
I mean, let me smell the actual beer. Okay, I get a little bit more from this one. So, what's funny is I get this. I'm picking up the sweetness that I would probably get from like almost a fruitiness on the nose. So like the date and the plum, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit of the chocolate I'm getting too. Let's see how it tastes.
It's got plums in it to keep you regular.
It does. I'm all about digestive health when it comes to my beers. It's good. It's good. There's a hint of booziness. The vanilla I get, a little bit of the espresso. A little bit of fruitiness, so some sweetness in there. Pretty well balanced out, though. Like, it does a good job of kind of presenting all the flavors, but not, like, nothing is overbearing. And that's what you want out of a good beer. You want to taste all the things, right?
Yep.
Hint of chocolate. Not a ton of chocolate, but just a hint. Yeah, that's pretty good. That's try to decide. I have it on 4.5 right now and untapped. I don't think I'm gonna go to a 5. I'm gonna get a 4.75 though. It's a pretty good beer. And actually, a funny thing, and maybe this is the power of suggestion, but Super Listener Dave rated it 4.75, and I kind of agree with him on that. It's a really good beer. These days. A lot is expected from a 5 on, because of all the competition in the craft beer realm. But this one kind of stands on its own, and it's a pretty good beer. Again, this is for the Whiskey Barrel Stout from Boulevard. We've had Boulevard twice on the show. Both have been from me. And let's see here. If my computer would work with me, I'm going to tell you, let's see, fine, Boulevard. Here we go. Episode. Glad I bought that for you. Episode 188, Real Life Up.
Oh, yeah.
There's a Smooth Collider from Boulevard. And then episode 211, Aggravated Baggery. I had a chocolate ale from Boulevard. And both of them I rated pretty well. I think I want to say that the Smooth Collider I rated like a 4.5 or something like that. I think the chocolate ale was 4, 4.25. So again, another good one from Boulevard. It is 11.8% alcohol by volume, 32 IBUs. And if you can get it, it's pretty good. I like it.
Good. Just sounds good. I've got something that, the can is really hard to read, but it is it's called Galaphobia, and maybe something will tell us. And it's by a brewery that I've never had called Narrow Gauge Brewing Company, and they are in Florissant, Missouri. I think that's Florissant. Alexa, where is Florissant, Missouri?
It's in Missouri.
Florissant, Missouri is a city located in St. Louis County, Missouri. It is situated approximately 5 miles north of St. Louis.
Thank you. But I got, again, going back to this, so Florissant, Missouri, and it's called Florissant. Galaphobia, which is a milk stout brewed with lactose and aged on vanilla beans and vanillin. And I don't know what vanillin is, but that's what the can says.
They age it on vanilla beans?
It says, well, I'm going to read untapped, because I could barely read the can because it's black.
It does really say small. On and untapped. How do you age something on vanilla beans?
Well, let's see what the can says again. I'm going to try it again. On vanilla beans and vanillin. And I don't know. And it says with vanillin. And I don't know what it is. I don't know. Untapped does the same thing. Milk stout brewed with vanillin and aged on vanilla beans. Alexa, what is vanillin?
A fragrant compound, which is the essential.
Vanilla is a spice derived from orchids, primarily from pods of the flat-leaved vanilla. It is used in many culinary and beauty products, and is often used to flavor and scent baked goods, confections, and ice cream. The spice comes from the seed pods of certain orchids and is primarily produced in Mexico, Madagascar, and India. Its flavor is described as sweet, aromatic, and slightly citrusy, and it is also used in perfumes and cosmetics.
So vanillin is a fragrant compound, which is the essential constituent of vanilla. Alternate name is 3-methoxy-4-hydrochloride cybenzaldehyde. Chemical formula CH3OC6H3OHCHO.
Well, I tell you, with any of these beers that say they have vanilla in it, there's always something that's disappointing. And it's the fact that it never has enough vanilla. But I hold it up to my nose, and it's
okay.
It smells like it's got a lot of vanilla in it. And I don't think there's much else if I were to smell it.
It doesn't smell like a vagina.
No, it doesn't.
Well, that's good. You know, maybe this will be the exception.
I hope so. Let me see.
That was a good old fashioned.
That is very good. I definitely get the vanilla in there. It's not overly sweet though, which I was a little bit nervous about. And I think the one that I had last week was similar, but it was more sweet. It was more dessert. Where this has, and actually this one isn't a imperial, and it's not bourbon barrels, but it does have a little bit of a bite to it. It's only 6.1% alcohol by volume, but I definitely get the vanilla in there. Again, not too sweet. It takes what's probably a very good milk stout. You get the smoothness from the lactose in there. And then adds the vanilla to it. And I like it a good bit. I started to put it at 4.5, and I think I'll leave it there. It is very solid. There's nothing that really knocks it down, and there's nothing that I think is going to make it feel like it needs to be any higher. So I'll be happy with the 4.5 and really wish I had some more. I need to try to remember where the hell I bought this, although I fear it's at the place that's no longer around. So I won't be able to get any more, but I'll give it a shot. Maybe there is somewhere else I can find it.
Yeah, buy your beer from places that aren't closing so you can go back.
Yeah, that's the one thing. Buying a couple of the last ones off the shelf, and it's like, yeah, I'll grab that. So, No, it's solid. I really like it. 4.5 for the Galaphobia from Narrow Gauge Brewing Company.
It's a winner.
Absolutely.
Nice. We got a 4.5, a 4.75.
Yep.
Yeah, we did good. We did real good this week.
We did. I'm just going to hit check in. I evidently cleared it out before I... is checked in. Well, shit, nice. We got a couple extra crazy news stories this week, so I'd say we go ahead and get in on those.
Let's do it.
That's yummy. And the weird thing is, too, the ratings were, I was getting a little bit nervous because I was reading through some of them. It was like 3.5, 3.75, And then I hit a 5, and then I started hitting the high ones. Like, okay, now these are people I think that have similar tastes to me. And yeah, good stuff.
Nice.
All right. What's our first story take us?
Some more. Am I going first? Let's see.
Sure.
We're going to Georgia.
Wow.
You ever see Georgia on a map? It's purple.
It's right here on the hand.
That's a Jeff Foxworthy joke work right there. We're going to Georgia, Columbia County, where deputies said a Georgia couple. Deputies say, according to deputies, a Georgia couple says, a Georgia couple tells deputies that
what
that their company, a company, some sort of company, a moving company, stole their sex dominoes. You ever had your sex dominoes stolen, Robert? I can't imagine it.
I keep them under lock and key for that very reason.
Yeah, I keep them in a box. I got them right here. This is where I keep my sex dominoes. I keep it. I also keep stuff for my brother-in-law's campaign in here, but mostly sex dominoes. It's always weird when I go to fundraisers with the sex dominoes. But a Georgia couple told deputies that a moving company stole their sex dominoes last week. March 13th, man told the Columbia County Sheriff's Office that while a moving company was helping him pack his house up, a theft occurred. They burgled him. Coleman Worldwide Moving had multiple employees packing items, according to the man. I don't know if I'd ever want somebody to actually pack my items for me. Like, I'll put it in boxes. You make this pile of boxes. Go to the new house, but I don't know. Rifling through my shit.
I think I'd be okay with it.
Would you?
Yeah, I think if you've obviously you get the things that are important to you, let them pack everything else. Like, who cares?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm still not going to do it. Man told deputies he saw one.
Well, you're not moving anywhere anytime soon. I'm sure. So that's why.
No, we're going to be here for a minute because. Because the mortgage rate that we have as well, I'm refusing to ever give that up. So man told deputies he saw one of those movers sit the sex dominoes on top of a dresser along with a few other items. Man then said he made sure the items would be packed the next day ahead of his move.
Ow.
Police report said the man signed some moving papers, then saw the mover go back to the area of the dresser to grab a drill before leaving. After the movers left, the sex dominoes, along with an iPad, were missing. Uh-oh. So, the sex dominoes made the headline, but not the iPad. Like, how much are sex... Alexa, how much are sex dominoes?
Sorry, I don't know that.
Alexa, add sex dominoes to my shopping list.
I've added sex dominoes to your shopping list.
Perfect. Let's see here. Let's see.
That way, if they ever become available, then I'll get them.
They'll auto ship them. Added it to your subscribe and save.
Right.
Let's see here.
Here's your subscribe and save. Review the items that'll be showing up at your house on Monday.
Let's see. Double 12 dominoes for kids ages 8 and up. Though I don't think those would be sex dominoes. Domino set for adults.
Why is it spicy?
That's spicy sex dominoes are different. But anyways, I mean, I can't imagine they were more than like $30 or something like that, right? That's a little bit crazy. But yet the sex dominoes made the headline, not the iPad. The man told police he would prosecute if a suspect was identified. I always like to stop with like one sentence left in a story and tangent off and then come back and then say the last sentence. I'm sorry to hear that those sex dominoes went missing, and I hope he finds them. Or just go on Amazon and get some other ones.
Now
I'm more worried about the iPad, though.
Well, I was going to say, they have a picture of them, but that just says it's from Getty Images, so I don't think it has anything.
Those dominoes are just regular old dominoes.
Though. Right.
Let's see here.
So I got to search with Google. There it is. Sex Dominoes, Abracadabra, NYC. Intimacy.
Yeah, and they're $26.95. So let's see here.
Well, and there's a one star rating for the Amazon ones.
Description: come in 30 minutes or less. I mean, it doesn't take me that long. I don't need dominoes. These sex dominoes aren't going to be the only thing falling against one another. A set of sexually stimulating dominoes for lovers. Liven up your evenings with sex dominoes. Player who wins selects a path of sexual activities to act out. Game includes 28 dominoes with 14 sexually stimulating rewards and game rules.
Huh.
Look at that. There's a lot of different activities. Let's see here. Abracadabra, NYC. Let's see, what's your address? Well, they're sold out. I bet you people read the story were like, oh, we gotta get some sex dominoes.
Next to the Christmas sex crackers. Too funny.
Sex dominoes. You can get them on eBay. They have them on eBay too.
I'm sure they do.
They're probably all gummed up though.
They're lightly used.
Why are my sex dominoes sticky?
Well, I bet you this guy knows.
Said they were new.
It's going to take us to our friends at Coin, KOIN, and I still can't see that well, and I almost read that as loin, and I think that would have been more appropriate for the last story. But this one's not that far off. Tells us that a man was arrested after grabbing women's feet and rubbing them on his face.
How do you do that? How do you put yourself in a position where suddenly somebody's able to grab your feet and rub them on his face?
Yeah.
Maybe the story will answer itself.
It should, hopefully. This tells us that
the math isn't mapping.
If our friend Jeremy Liu, 55, was booked into the Washington County Jail on Friday and faces multiple charges. Portland, Oregon. Officials say an Aloha man sexually assaulted two women, which is not funny, responding to an advertisement looking for a housekeeper. And Washington County authorities believe that there may be more victims. Jeremy Liu was booked into the Washington County Jail. It seems like we just read that and faces multiple charges.
Not charge.
Including two.
I like when they repeat it again. That's good.
Right. A lot of times it opens with the same sentence that the headline was. This one actually put it down in the second paragraph. Including two counts of third degree sex abuse and two counts of attempted harassment. According to the Washington County Sheriff's Office, deputies received a report from a woman who had a suspicious encounter with Liu. The woman reportedly was responding to a Craigslist ad for a housekeeper and went to his home. Not long after she arrived, Liu subjected the woman to unwanted contact by grabbing her bare feet and rubbing them on his face.
Why is she barefoot? She's cleaning a house.
Expired.
And how are you in a position, again, where even if your feet are bare, somebody's able to grab them and put them on? Was he laying on the floor?
Oh, no. I don't know. Now, it's certainly not the victim-shaming thing, but what the barefoot is. Unless he was like, you got to take your shoes off, in the house, not to fuck up the carpet and all that stuff. Old Jeremy, if he was here, he would tell us. The woman left the home and called the police. During the investigation, deputies discovered that there was another woman who reported similar behavior by Liu in February. This person was also responding to an advertisement seeking a barefoot just a housekeeper. I assume that she came in barefoot as well. You got to take off your shoes and your socks. He needs it so clean. Liu was arrested in the home later that day.
Stand on your head.
Officials say he has an expansive social media presence. And he's been sharing content about seeking a housekeeper since as early as 2017. So he's just been looking for a housekeeper so he could touch her feet for 7 years now. He's also advertised math tutoring services to barefoot children. Deputies believe that Liu, I added that part, may have, not the tutoring, I did not add that, that was included in that. Yeah. Deputies believe that he may have additional victims. Anyone with information about Liu is asked to contact WCSO. So now that leads me to believe that I need to highlight, right click, search with Google. Oh, yep. See Instagram photos. Sydney. Yeah. There's a lot of Jeremy Liu there. Who knows if it's the same guy, though? So. Hard to know.
Probably is. There's a lot of Jeremy Lou's out there. Jimmy Lou. Is it Jimmy? Is it Jimmy?
Oh, Jimmy. That's right. Yeah. See, I Googled Jimmy, so it's correct, but I said Jeremy again. Huh.
I forgive you.
Oh, thank you. Welcome. Oh, this one's in crazy. Ohio. This is close to you.
Five folks. Oh, goody. What is? All right. We're going to Ohio.
The FIFOs mess everything up.
They really do. We're going to... let's see here. We're going to Oxford, Ohio, where a man, a dad was arrested after continuously calling a school about his child's homework. Complaint shows.
The affidavit states.
Document state, too. Let's see. A father's growing frustrations about the amount of homework his child's school was assigning led the dad to the dad being arrested. Adam Sizemore is accused of repeatedly calling his child's school to complain about the amount of homework, according to Oxford police. Criminal complaints filed against Sizemore claims he threatened the school principal, saying he better put his big boy pants on.
Uh-oh.
Oh, you can't tell people to put big boy pants on. That's very threatening. When the school stopped answering Sizemore's call, police say he started calling their department.
Uh-oh.
He calls dispatch, I think it was 18 times roughly, said Oxford Police Detective Sergeant Adam Price.
I can't even
imagine. In the audio records from the police department, Sizemore can be heard becoming frustrated that dispatchers are not telling him their names. He's audibly frustrated that he keeps getting the chief of police's voicemail and that he can't speak with him directly. Below is a transcribed portion of one of the calls. They put a transcription. Fantastic. Dispatcher, leave a voicemail if he doesn't answer. Sizemore, I'm being very nice. Dispatcher, well then, come to the police department and we'll call the chief in and you can talk to him in person, but I'm not calling him on the phone. Sizemore, he can come to my fucking house. I pay for him. No. He can come to my house. After repeated calls, Sizemore did not get the chance to speak with the chief, but he did get to speak with officers. And more audio recordings. A dispatcher tells Sizemore that he will send out the officers after his repeated calls to the department that ultimately ended when we took him into custody and telecommunications harassment, as well as a menacing charge, Sergeant Price explained. Charge.
After his arrest, making it impossible for them to conduct a test to determine his blood alcohol level.
I'm doing just fine. Sizemore was charged with two first-degree misdemeanors for telecommunications harassment, according to the criminal complaint. The menacing charge he faces is a fourth-degree misdemeanor, the complaint shows. That's crazy. Who... You got to be at least a little bit crazy to say, I can't believe the amount of homework that my kids are getting.
And call the police.
Let me call the police.
Too funny.
It doesn't seem like a thing you should do.
No.
Yeah, that's crazy. Crazy times. Very crazy times.
This one has me excited, and I know you're not a big... What? There's a side article of this, and I actually saw somebody drinking that. I know you're not a big IPA, and there's the other story. I just sent that to Kellis. I know you're not a big IPA fan, but you do love the pizza, and I thought this was...
I do like pizza.
I was going to say it looks delicious, but I think...
I haven't had dinner yet either. I could just murder a pizza right now, if I'm being honest with you.
Well, this beer isn't going to help you any, and it's a pizza IPA from our friends at Food Beast, who tell us that it's coming soon to Voodoo Ranger. But thanks to Voodoo Ranger and Tombstone, which you know is a high-quality pizza.
They do.
There are a few combinations better than pizza and beer, and now Voodoo Ranger beer is topping off Pie Day with a new limited edition brew that combines both. And Pie Day was a little over a week ago, so we may have missed it. New Belgium's IPA brand is teamed with Tombstone. Yes, that one. For a pizza-flavored beer, IPizzaA. That's the P for pizza and IPA.
Oh, I see what they did there. Yep. That was a play. That was a play on words.
Yep. Inspired by Born in a Bar, Heritage of Tombstone, IPizzaA is 7% alcohol by volume and features flavors of Tombstone's crispy crust, tangy tomato sauce, and savory herbs and spices.
Herbs.
Right. Although the limited edition offering won't be available until National Beer Day on April 7th, you can sign up starting today for a chance to win a four-pack and one of the first all-new yet unannounced or yet to be announced Tombstone pizzas. Voodoo Ranger's iPizza drops on April 7th. It will be available as a four-pack for $49.99 for a limited time in select markets. $50 for a four-pack.
I mean, you know, it's one of those, like, you know, people would do it just because it's unique and it's, you know, I don't know.
Now I got
would
stuck
you try on- it? Would you try the iPizza?
I would try it, but I wouldn't pay $50 for four cans, knowing that it's probably not that good.
Would you pay $12.50 for one can?
One can, yes. I would. And
fair,
I would, and
fair
I would
enough.
Buy this Chick-fil-A. Do you have the same ads on the side that I do, the Chick-fil-A serving pizzas at their test kitchen? Let's see here. Do you have that on the side?
Guy's face. I don't, but if I maximize my window, It might just be because I'm in a smaller space, so it's not showing all of the, and I have ad block on. And
It might not be ad, but I do too, but it's not that. But Chick-fil-A serving pizzas at their test kitchen restaurant, it looks like it's chicken and it's on with cheese, and then it's got pickles on top because you know their sandwiches got pickles.
I mean, I'd try it.
And then there's the churro-flavored Oreos that I sent to Kellis the other day. And Crown Royal debuts new limited edition blackberry flavor.
You know what's funny? I saw something on the internet. I forget if it
TikTok.
Was Reddit or was it TikTok. Well, yeah. There's a couple places. No, I saw something. It was on Reddit where somebody was looking for that. And apparently that it was... It's impossible to find. Like, it's some places will get it in, and within hours, it's completely
like
sold
here.
Out.
Like Buffalo Trace, every time it shows up on a random Tuesday. I like this one. Passenger who ordered a vegan meal on a flight is served a single banana.
I mean, that's too what funny. You get.
Yeah, well, too funny.
What you get.
Where's our next one?
That's a good question. Let's see here. Our next one's going to...
He's handsome.
More feet. Sometimes you can't have enough feet. I don't know. This guy's feet, though. It's
He's
disgusting.
Kind of a hippie. I don't like feet at all. Like, they could be...
No, God,
they could
no.
be covered up for all I care. Cover them.
For sure. Yeah, I don't like this guy at all. But here we are.
No.
And we're going to the mirror. So it's got to be in the UK. And this is very UK.
Mirror.co.uk.
I don't want...
That's how you know.
I don't want this particular website to give me notifications. Let's see here. We're going to... It doesn't fucking matter. We're going to the UK where a man... who hasn't worn shoes for 3 years sells pictures of his dirty feet online. People will fucking buy anything, apparently. This is disgusting.
Those feet people.
George Woodville makes the most of his barefoot lifestyle and cashes in on his grubby toes, but he sometimes has to play the medical card when it comes to visiting shops and restaurants for not wearing shoes.
Charges.
There are many ways people can make a little extra cash. One man saw the perfect opportunity to make some money. It's all thanks to his dirty feet. George Woodville hasn't worn shoes since 2021. 4 years without shoes. And now makes the most of his grubby feet and sells photos of them on OnlyFans for some extra cash. 21-year-old embraces a barefoot lifestyle. And by doing so, has managed to meet the love of his life, Roseanne. The reason for the lifestyle change was due to George struggling with his mental health and claiming he wanted to experience the whole ground. by not wearing shoes. He can now stay financially stable thanks to making money on OnlyFans. When he threw his shoes away, he recalled how his family thought he had gone off the rails. They had probably have a point. But now he manages to cash in on his feet as well as doing wonders for his well-being since taking social media. George has accumulated thousands of fans who all gave him the idea to start OnlyFans. Now he makes between 500 and 1,000 euros a month extra from his foot photos, mostly out in public places such as on trains or in cafes.
He's on TikTok.
This is when he met Roseanne, 20. Ew. And the pair claimed it was love at first sight of his feet. And despite her new boyfriend not wearing shoes, she didn't seem to mind. Roseanne then started going barefoot just after a few months of the pair dating. But it's not all been plain sailing. The couple revealed they have been turned away from places for being barefoot.
Yep.
And admitted they have had to resort to playing the medical card. Okay. To get into restaurants and shops, we don't mind as much as if we get a glass or anything in our feet anymore. Really? I've stood on that quite a few times, but I've always been okay. It doesn't stop me from going anywhere, and we can't live in fear of something happening whenever we leave the house. And I think that applies to life as a whole, too, George said. There's more. Look at life. As if it were placed here on a desert island with no idea of what is a scene as normal. If we want to be barefoot, then we should be able to. There are a lot worse things that we could be doing. I'm lucky to have met Roseanne, and we can do this together. She's the love of my life. I don't think either of us are thinking of stopping this lifestyle, he added. The choice for him to be barefoot came to him when he was on a walking holiday with his mom and granddad. He claimed he was looking for a new experience and thought, why not, he explained. I just thought, why am I not experiencing the whole ground? Why would I not want the whole experience of it? So I threw all my shoes away. He sometimes has to pull the medical card. Okay, here's his girlfriend. His girlfriend's doing the same thing.
His splash diarrhea.
That's almost as gross as this. However, he added that his family didn't really understand it and revealed initially they didn't really want anything to do with me for a long time because they thought I must have gone off the rails or something. But that wasn't the case.
Without shoes.
However, he found that being barefoot has improved his mental health and said it's one of the best things he's ever done. He explained how he used to suffer from seizures and claimed that being barefoot has stopped them from happening. What? When it comes to people's reactions...
Okay, I wonder if he has a housekeeper.
When it comes to people, I wouldn't clean his house. He claimed it can be done one way or the other, he said, and said strangers are generally one way or the other. They either think it's great or are just so against it, they think it's really weird. I'm going to be the latter on that one. Sometimes we get people to come up to us and say, wow, you guys are really inspirational, and it's so cool what you do. I think the fact that we're a couple and we're doing it kind of makes it more spectacle. Exactly. But it doesn't seem bothered that he knows he makes money from the dirty feet and added, it keeps me financially afloat. I'm not bothered by what other people think or what they get out of watching my videos. Like with people who have a foot fetish, for example, for me, it's all art and creativity. And then there are people who appreciate that creativity, whatever way you can imagine. That's my personal response to that too. So, that's different. That's definitely different, Robert. I don't know if I like that.
No.
I don't know if I like that at all.
No. Nothing to do with feet, especially if they're dirty.
Oh, God, no. That's gross.
This one takes us to our friends at the Babylon Bee. It's our final story. And if you've seen all the things on the news about Boeing and all the issues that they've been going through with their planes and the doors and all that kind of stuff.
Sure have.
Well, our friends at the Babylon Bee tell us about a new toy that Boeing has come out with where it features wings that actually just fall off. Here, as I figure out if I, you know, when I can come up to Detroit, I'm thinking maybe as long as it's not on a Boeing plane.
Luckily, most airlines use Airbuses, I feel like, this day and age.
Double check. A new airplane toy modeled after the Boeing 737 features real in-flight damage. In which the jet's wings really do fall off. Wow, the wings really fall off, just like in real life, said the boy in a television commercial. Crash, bang. We're all good. The Boeing company reportedly signed off on the popular new toy in an effort to recoup financial losses in the wake of recent mechanical failures. I think they tried selling golden shoes, and that didn't work out so well first. When the plane parts started falling from the sky, I knew we were headed for a PR disaster, said Boeing CEO.
Not interested.
We may not have been able to build planes, but we can build cool toys, and that's just as good. The early success of the Boeing 737 action plane has prompted the company to introduce a new toy line, 737 Max Door Buster and 787 Dreamliner de-icing failure. Products are expected to launch this fall. At publishing time, a special edition Boeing whistleblower action, I don't know about that one, action figure was announced, which will feature realistic battle damage. Holy crap. So these stories, they get really edgy in this Babylon Bee. I'll tell you that much.
They sure do.
There's some good ones in there, and some of them I just go, holy crap. That was about as close as it gets.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, obviously this is 100% real, and none of this is embellished or made up or anything like that. But, I mean, you know, let's be honest. There's, like, all jokes aside,
yeah.
If I have two flights that are somewhat equally priced, somewhat equally as convenient as far as times and stuff, and I can pick one that's an Airbus or one that's a Boeing, I'm just saying, like, Airbus isn't getting all of having all these issues. I'm not going on TikTok and seeing where, you know, Airbus has door panels flying off and almost sucking people out of the plane mid-flight. That's all happening with Boeing. So I'm just saying, I'm probably more inept to getting to getting on an Airbus than a Boeing if I have a choice.
Yeah,
you know,
no, it's a weird one, and I don't think I ever would have thought that. But there's a lot of stuff going on. And when we went to Maine last year and Benji was nervous, and I'm like, look, I showed him, I pulled up, was that FlightAware that shows every plane up in the air? And I said, there's a shit ton of planes up there. And there's, you hear about the main ones or you hear about the big issues, but percentage-wise, it's still very small. Now we've got...
Sure.
We've got something leaning in one particular direction right now with this brand, but it's all pretty wild.
Are you a nervous flyer?
No, I'm not nervous.
No, neither am I. I'm perfectly fine with it.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. I look at it as if something happens, I'm not going to know the difference in a few minutes. So really, don't worry about it. Nothing I can do.
Hey, that's one way to think about it, I suppose.
Oh, and it could be anything. I mean, I could just be sitting here, right? So it's not a whole lot of things. And I just ate half a jar of peanuts. So who knows what that'll do to me?
It'll be fine.
Something's going on.
No, you're gonna be great.
But yeah, you know, again, like, and I think there's just those things that you can really worry about that, and then you have no possible idea of knowing when that moment is. And again, that set aside, there's so many planes up in the air, and there's so many that happen just at this second, not to mention this next hour and then the next 24 hours, how many planes are up there without an issue? So the odds, I guess it's like the lightning strike. Like, yeah, I'll go outside if it's storming out. I don't really worry about it.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you know, what are the odds that you're on one of those flights? I mean, there's, again, like you said, there's so many planes in the air. There's thousands. I love the way, by the way, we're like deep diving into a fucking fake news story. Like, it's like, this is a real thing.
Yeah.
But I mean, also, you know, it is a little bit crazy, but.
Shit. That's episode 245.
Yeah, there it is.
245 for whatever that was that Harrison told us. And I think all things considered, as long as next week we can record earlier in the week, we'll be all set to have another episode right after.
Sounds good to me.
All right, man. I'll see you then.
See you then. This preceding show is brought to you with joy by the two Bobs. Oh, words of their own. Not of anybody else in the world, because nobody else would fucking own up to this shit. And you can subscribe to our podcast or just go to the fucking twobobs.com. Stop being a little bitch and just own up and do it.